From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. The outcome of next week's presidential election is being closely watched, not just by U.S. citizens, but by people around the world. We'll talk with a journalist from an online newspaper in the South African nation of Mali and a reporter from France 24. They're both here in Southwest Florida reporting on the election. We'll explore how America's unique election process is viewed by an international audience and what citizens of other countries feel they have at stake in the U.S. presidential election. Plus, with less than a week to go until Election Day, we conclude our series of conversations with the candidates and talks with incumbent U.S. Senator Bill Nelson and candidates for Florida's U.S. Congressional District 16 and 17 races. First, the news. This is Gulf Coast Live on WGCU. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. Throughout this election season, WGCU's been bringing you a series of conversations with the candidates, looking into the platforms and legislative priorities of those looking to represent Southwest Florida in the state legislature. Now, with less than a week to go until Election Day, we conclude our series with a look at the region's federal races. We'll talk with Democratic incumbent U.S. Senator Bill Nelson, who's seeking a third term. We'll also hear from candidates running for Florida's U.S. Congressional District 16 and 17 races, Democrats Keith Fitzgerald and William Bronson. Those conversations later in the show. But first, interest in the U.S. presidential election extends far beyond the country's borders. This morning, we'll explore how America's unique electoral process is viewed by an international audience and what citizens of other countries feel they have at stake in the outcome of next week's vote. Foreign correspondents have descended on the U.S., particularly in critical swing states like Florida, to cover the election. These journalists include our next guest. We have Celia Dalmeida, and she is here with us from Mali. She's the deputy editor-in-chief of JournalDuMali.com. It's an online newspaper in the West African nation. And she's with our newsroom here at WGCU on a 10-day reporting mission through the nonprofit International Center for Journalists and the U.S. Foreign Press Club. Celia, welcome to Gulf Coast Live, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
And we had also planned on having Julien Peyron with France 24 join us, but just a few minutes ago we did hear from his editor, and they're actually sending him up into the Northeast. So good luck. Sorry you were not able to join us. But I do invite our listeners to join the conversation. If you have a comment or question for our guests, studio lines are open at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Find us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media or send email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org. And Celia, before people can really begin to understand what citizens of Mali are thinking or how they're viewing the presidential election here in the U.S., I think it's important to understand what's going on in the country now with al-Qaeda militants. Tell us a bit about that. Give us some background.
Okay. It's in the northern part of Mali since January 2012. There are a multitude of groups, but almost all of them are fundamentalists. And they took control of three of our biggest cities, Timbuktu, Kidal, and Gao. So more than the half of the country. And they just want to put on the Sharia, which is the Islamic law. Mm-hmm. And they are doing very bad things to the population. People are no longer free to do what they want. A lot of people run away from that path, a lot of refugees out of the country or in the southern part of the country. It's a very difficult situation for all the Malians because we never had such a thing. And since today, people don't know how to take it. We are afraid of war, sure.
Sure.
But we want our citizen to be free also.
Contrast for us what life is like in the north now in the militant-controlled areas versus life in the southern-controlled areas. When they're imposing Sharia law, what does that mean for the people living there?
Yeah, I've already told that there is no more freedom for those people living in that part of the country. Women are obliged to wear the burqa, So you just have to say the eyes just as, if you don't want, you stay at home or you be put in jail. Directly, no more music, no more soccer, no more nothing. You just have to go to the mosque, pray, go to work, come back home. That's all. So life is, I think I can say that is really ugly, because they are very open-minded people. This area was a touristic area. So they meet a lot of people coming from all over the world. They are, how can I say it? I've already thought, they are very open-minded. So mm-hmm. it's difficult for them to be in that situation. You can't talk. You there is no more life, I can say.
So they are predominantly Muslim to begin with, but as far as this strict Sharia law, that's not the mentality of people in
no.
Mali.
No, okay. No, no.
Oh, and you live in the southern portion of the country. I mean, are you worried that the militant groups there, Al-Qaeda and others, are going to expand?
Yes. They said at the beginning of this crisis that they will not come in the southern part if they are not attacked in the north. But nobody believes that, because they said they want to put the Sharia. So if you want to put the Sharia, it's on the whole country, not in just in the northern part. So people are very, very afraid. I think in Bamako, it will be harder for them to put the Sharia, because people are very free, want to go to club and such a things. Mm-hmm. So they will not accept. But in the northern part, they have done a previous work, you know. They infiltrate the population, and after that, they make the attack, and Malian army just run away. So people were just like victims, you know, nothing to do. You can't do anything. You just have to close your mouth and accept the situation. It's really difficult, but I don't think that in Bamako it will be such easier.
Well, with this situation, and as you said, it's been going on for 10 months now, how does that impact what anyone in Mali thinks about the U.S. presidential election? Or is that something that people are even, is that even on their minds?
Yes, I can say yes, because we are waiting for the international intervention, and we know that the U.S. can help us in that. And according to most of the person I asked, we feel that the U.S. don't want to be involved in this war, because they have a lot of other stuff to do in Libya, Afghanistan, and all over the world. So we are feeling that the U.S. are a little afraid to be involved in this. But people are maybe thinking that the president, the actual president, Mr. Obama, don't want to be more unpopular mm-hmm. through going to another war. And we hope that after the election, the new president, is it Obama or Romney, will be more engaged to do something for the situation in Mali.
So would you say folks are less concerned with who wins and more concerned with what they're going to do
yes.
once they're in office?
Yes.
Gotcha. Well, you know, a recent article in the Los Angeles Times just from over the weekend noted that U.S. officials have implicated one of these same militant groups controlling northern Mali in last month's attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi, Libya. Do you think that could strengthen, you know, justification or the resolve for why the U.S. would have an interest in getting involved if they do decide to?
I think yes, because those people are a threat for everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, when they come in Mali, but they can also go to I don't know where there are U.S. interests. So if the U.S. want the world be more peaceful and a place everybody can stay without being threatened by those kind of, I don't know what word I can use to qualify them. So they have to be involved, just to be sure that they will not go other way and make the ugly things they are already doing in Mali.
What do you think so far about, you know, what you've observed about the election process here in Florida and about the freedom Americans have here in general and perhaps take for granted compared with your friends in northern Mali?
I've seen already very, very good things. First, because the process is really different from the one we have in Mali, sure. Mm-hmm. And how can I say it? It's this different because you have first the primary, and after people choose the candidates, and after they go to the rallies. In Mali, it's not like that. We just have, first, we have a lot of candidates. Mm-hmm. For election, you can have, for presidential election, you can have 20 candidates. And after you will, after the first vote, the people will do alliance to go for one or the other candidate. So it's really interesting for our people to see how things going on here during the electoral process. Mm. I don't know if I've got your point in
that. No, absolutely. I mean, does that seem strange to you or to other folks how a candidate can win the popular vote, but because of the Electoral College still lose the election?
That will never happen in Africa. How you will have a civil war. That's not possible. Because just for us, it's just the popular vote. We don't have the second one. So it won't happen. Mm. I don't think so.
Well, and what kind of news stories are you really looking to bring back to your readers?
First, about the electoral process.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
So I've done already something on the early voting, which is really interesting. And how people are feeling because you have a black American president. So we African are interested to see how the American citizen are feeling with this second, maybe if he win, the second term of President Obama, or if Romney win, what will it change for American, especially for foreign affairs, because it's what concerns us. And I would like to see also how people here live, just to, because it's my first time in the U.S., and I can tell you that it's a cultural shock. Mm. So I want to share with people in Mali how you people here live and how it could be interesting to put all your riches and us together.
All right. And Mali right now, you know, we know is run by an interim government. Do we have any idea when those long-sought national elections might take place?
I can't tell you.
Yeah. Still too much to figure out before.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because now the main purpose we have is to get back the northern part of the country. I don't know how long it will take. Just for the intervention, they are telling that it will take place on March the next year. So we have almost six months to wait before that military intervention. And I don't know how long it will take, so I can't tell you.
Sure. Well, that is all the time we have for today's program. But I want to thank my guest, Celia D'Almeida. She's the deputy editor-in-chief of the online newspaper, JornalDuMali.com. We'll be back after a break.